We welcome you to worship at College Park. It's exciting to be together. Several announcements we'll make before we get started in worship. The way we start is we'd like to find out first who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. This lets us know who is in worship. We ask everybody to fill it out. Send it down so everybody has a chance to do that. Once it gets to the last person on the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you would tear out the pages that were used this morning, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that. A couple of schedule reminders. Today we are having children's time. So right after the first hymn, I invite all the kids to come right down here for just a few minutes with me. Also, an adjustment to our schedule today. The family ministry team will not be meeting, but the youth council will be meeting. No FMT, no family ministry team, but youth council will be meeting today at 4 o'clock. Other schedule changes, channels and bells will not be practicing today. But youth choir will, and all the other youth activities. So I want you to make note of that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin, including a parent discipleship class that's happening now on Wednesday nights, the book club, and Baptist Men, and several other things that are listed there. And I think by Raymond's presence, we have an announcement.
I was just visiting before the service and didn't get a chance to give him announcements, so I thought it'd just be easier to give it to you. Tuesday, we are going to be taking the old stage out of Smith Hall. This morning we were on the new stage and had a great crowd in there and good start for that facility, but we need to get that old stage out of there. So if you are available and could help with that, Mitch Edmonds is going to be leading the charge on that. So if you would let him know this afternoon or this evening that you'd be here to help him, he can kind of give you the details on that. Also, a couple of things I would like to let us know in terms of pastoral care. Mary Gilley, a longtime member at College Park, passed away last night about 9:20. We do not have arrangements, the arrangements for her service yet, so we should hopefully have those by tonight or first thing in the morning that we can let you know if you want to call the church office. Also, Jamie Cobbler's mom, Estella Thomas, passed away this weekend. The service will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock. At Moody Funeral Home in Mount Airy. That's at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and visitation will be tonight. Thank you.
There is, for those that want to visit Jamie and her family, there will be a bus going up this afternoon at 5:30. Okay. I think that's all the announcements we'll make. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate the information that you've already given us on the pew pad. We would like to give something to you. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Guests, we just invite you to just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story, the history of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. It is a good day to be together. Snow and ice. Snow mixed with ice is not so much fun as just snow. But the effect, teachers, students, is the same, right? Pretty much. I wonder this week, God may throw us a curveball. Something may happen in our lives, and he comes out of left field, or seemingly for us out of left field. I wonder this week, are you ready for what he wants to do in you? Sometimes we think we understand how God works, and in so doing, we put him in a box. But I think that God has something outside of our box to teach us today. Something in a way maybe you've never heard before. But that takes us listening with different ears, worshiping with different hearts. Our prayer is that God would have his way with the service and with us, no matter what our expectations are, because it's really about him. Let us prepare for worship.
You would pray with me. Lord, we come into this place this morning bringing with us, Lord, expectations, but Lord, also anxieties, fears, Lord, our grief, our heart sickness, Lord, all of the things that have come upon us this week. Lord, for some of us, it's new feelings and new concerns. Lord, for others, it's the things that we have carried so long, we just don't even know what to do with them anymore. And so, Lord, we come now and we make the conscious decision to lay all of those at your feet. And Lord, for those of us that come in not carrying those burdens, we come in hope and expectation, but Lord, we come with the realization that there are those around us who are carrying those things. Lord, for each of us this morning, open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, clear our thoughts of all those other things. Lord, help us to reach out and to touch one another in your love. Lord, allow us to open ourselves, help us to open ourselves and allow you to touch us this morning. And Lord, help us to leave this place changed. Lord, we invite your Spirit to be at work in our midst. And even now, we give you glory for what you're going to do in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. right here. Wait till everybody gets here. Come on down. All right. Now, I know this is going to be something different. I had planned on bringing this from Matthew's house, but I forgot it this morning, so I had to make this up. Does anybody know what this looks like? Mr. Potato Head. All right. Now, what, for those that don't know, what's the basic concept behind a Mr. Potato Head? So you can make whatever Mr. Potato Head look like, whatever. So if you want to put his hat right there, you can do that. Could you put his mouth up there? Is that right? You can do that. Does that kind of look funny? Yeah, it doesn't look funny. I mean, what if, doesn't his ear go like down in his chin? Isn't that where it goes? Is that right? No. Are you sure? Well, let me see if I can work on this. Okay, where does his hat go? Does it go up top?
Yes.
Okay, his ears, like there. Is that right? Yes, right. Right, can I get this?
Yeah.
You sure? You want to check? Yep. Okay. All right, here we go. That one goes right there. All right, what's next? What on his
arms?
His arms? Okay, they go down here, right?
No.
No? Where does it go? Like right there?
No.
Oh, I dropped his ear. Oh, okay. All right. And we put his nose. Where does the nose go? Right next to his arm? His armpit? Is that where it goes? No? Okay. All right. We'll put it right there. And let's see. His arm? Am I getting this now?
Yeah.
Slowly? Okay. All right. Where does his eyes go? Oh, right under his nose. Just like a mustache. No! What about right there? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And his mouth. All right. Right there?
Yes.
And his feet? Go right there. Does that look right?
Yeah.
Does that look right, people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do we know that it looks right?
It doesn't look deformed.
That's okay. It doesn't look deformed. Every part is right where it's supposed to be. You've seen the movie before, Toy Story? Oh, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Did you know? If he didn't have all these pieces, he wouldn't look quite right, would he? The same thing Pastor Raymond is going to talk about. Everybody in here, Mr. Potato Head needed his hat, he needed his ears, he needed his eyes, his nose, his mouth, his arms, and his shoes, right? Just like we need every one of y'all, and every one of y'all to be doing your part. Everybody has been given gifts from God. Things that you're good at, things that you like to do. And you can't do, now if we took everything off except his hat, would he look right?
Yeah.
You need everything on here, right? To make him look right. Just like we need everybody in the church playing their part. That's exactly what Pastor Wayne is going to talk about. We can't do things on our own. We need each other. The arms need the nose. And the nose needs the mouth. And the mouth needs the shoes. And the shoes need the hat. Right? We need each other. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you have put us together to need one another. We grow from one another. We learn from one another. We support one another. Just like on this potato, each part plays a specific role. Help us to learn not to do this on our own, but to play our part together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in the back of your seat.
The scripture passage for the ministry of God's word comes from the book of Nehemiah. You'll find in the Old Testament. Actually, if you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible there in front of you. It's page 347. This is Nehemiah chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3, 5 and 6, and 8 through 10. Reading from the New International Version. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. And then moving to verse 5, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then verses 8 through 10. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Will you pray with me? Father, when we proclaim your word, we are reminded of these passages from Nehemiah. That on the day of the Lord, when we speak your truth, all fear goes away, all pain ceases. Because in your presence, everything else pales in comparison to you and your goodness and your grace. Father, as we've come to worship this morning, we brought things with us. Troubles, worries, difficulties and pains, doubts, hidden fears. Things that have called us to weep and to mourn. But Father, we trust on you. For our very existence, we trust and rely on your grace. And when we come into the sanctuary, when we come together as the body of Christ, and we listen to the word proclaimed, whether through song or prayer or scripture reading or message, We try to lift you up, listen for your voice, and learn from your commands. Because, Father, as we look around at what the world is trying to teach us, to trying to sell to our children, there's deception and there are lies. But you last forever. Help us to base our life on your word. That every step that we take, whether at school or work, at home, in our neighborhoods, every step that we take, every action, every word, every attitude, every thought needs to be done in your name. That's what this world needs. To show that your love and your grace is real. real enough to change people's lives so that they can go out living your example so that others may be changed as well. Let us hear these words from Nehemiah and be joyful. For despite this world's troubles, you are in control. And we are your children. And we have a purpose in this life. Reveal it to us and give us the courage to live it out this day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the sunshine this morning, for the warmth that we feel. I thank you so much for this group of folks that gathers at the corner of Polo and Ransom, for their warmth and for your warmth and presence in our lives. Lord, I thank you so much for the blessings you have given us. Now bless these gifts as we give a portion back to you to be your hands and feet in this little community. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
We are reading today from Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 14 and read down through verse 21. And you see then your order of service there. The title of the sermon today is Do-It-Yourself Christian. There's a question mark after that, and we'll address that in just a moment. But let's read together now from Luke's gospel, beginning in chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is in the synagogue teaching. In case you hadn't noticed, as you read this, the title of the sermon, there's a little bit of ambiguity in that title. Most perhaps would take the title to ask whether they could truly be united with Christ. Can we be so identified with our Savior that we might be said to be one with him, completely a Christian, a Christ one? But the way I read the question of the sermon title is this: can we be solitary Christians, having a personal relationship with Jesus but disregarding the community of the local church and the community of the broader church, that would be the entire body of Christ? In other words, can we in the company of Christ be do-it-yourself Christians? And I guess you can tell by the way I asked the question, I'm really kind of answering it. You know, to ask the question in that form is really essentially to answer it, because we are part of a larger company of members of Christ's body. Paul tells us that each of us has a role to play, even Mr. Potato Head down here. Hey, you know, that was cute. We all have our role to play, just as each of our organs or each of our body parts has a role to play within a physical body, so we have a role to play within the spiritual body of Christ. There are many more passages of Scripture that kind of underline this essential unity that we have in Christ, a unity that is more than a number of human beings who share a common belief or a common address or members of the same organization. You know, I find it striking, really. I find it striking in Scripture that even Jesus, the Son of God, did not attempt his public ministry by himself. Look in the next chapter. In Luke chapter 4, we've just read, in the next chapter, he begins calling his disciples. Even he did not believe that he wanted to do public ministry by himself, nor did he do so disconnected from the local church. And surely, if anyone could have pulled it off, it would have been Jesus, and he could have. But understand, his life was more than just about public ministry. His life was about giving us a model on how we are to live. You know, I'm afraid we have this mental image of Jesus in his ministry being disconnected from society, kind of this out in the wilderness thing, maybe kind of John the Baptist kind of retro thing. You know, we kind of think that Jesus was kind of removed from the religious structure of the day. But it wasn't like that. If you'll go and read the Gospels again, you'll see that he was there. He was with the people. Hear the passage, verse 16 again. He went to Nazareth, one of the communities, one of the cities, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went where? He went to the synagogue, as was his custom. This wasn't a new thing for him. That was his custom. Jesus' ministry was with people, in the circles of society, many times within the circles that most religious people would not go to. But he was well within the society of the day. I don't believe he calls us to the wilderness. I don't believe he calls us to the wilderness to avoid the traps of society, rather to walk in the Spirit within the midst of the culture. Now, granted, that's a lot messier, isn't it? That's tougher. If you withdraw, it's a whole lot easier to walk right with Christ because there's nothing to distract you, nothing to pull you away. It's tougher to minister to people. It really is. And that may be the point that we need to capture from this. We need each other. We need the encouragement of the body. The church is a gift from God so that we can be encouraged together, do the work of Christ in the context of community. You know, because we are, as Christ taught, branches of the same vine. We are one as the Father and Christ are one. We are one in that we are all temples of the same Holy Spirit. We have a lot in common. And we cannot ignore this unity and claim that just knowing Christ is good enough. That's all that really matters. In the sense of salvation, yes, but in the sense of community living, Christian living, no, we need each other. We need each other in a fundamental way to grow spiritually and really to become what Christ has called us to become. I think too many Christians, and really one is too many, but I think too many Christians think that they can grow spiritually by praying alone, studying the scriptures in the privacy of their homes, and never attending church. And no doubt, by the grace of God, some probably have achieved significant growth in that way. But we can all use the help. We can all use the encouragement. We can all use the fellowship and the support of a local body of believers in our spiritual journey. Now, let me say a word to those that are not able to be here. I mean, our church services are online. Thank you for Ishmael for your faithfulness to record and to Rick to get it posted to our website. And there are those who are not able to be here that watch our service online. And I want to encourage you, if that is you, if that is a part of how you worship, invite someone to come be with you as you watch it. That way you still enjoy the fellowship of other believers. We have a DVD ministry that goes out. Krista distributes DVDs of the service for some of our shut-ins. But we encourage them, don't just get in your room and watch this by yourself. Invite others to come so that you get the connection of being with other believers even as you worship by watching the TV, watching the DVD that's presented there. It's important. It's important for us to be together in worship. It's important for us to be together in missions. It's important for us to be together as we encourage and pray with one another. You know, perhaps we think that we come to church to worship God, and we do. But our attendance at service, we sometimes think it's a gift to God. But the reality is that the church is God's gift to us. Amen? It is God's gift to us. We come to church not for God's sake, but for our sake. It's through our presence at worship as part of the body that we can and should receive some spiritual benefits that we would miss otherwise. Let me give you a couple of them. First, there's an increased power in prayer, I believe, when many Christians are gathered together in prayer. Prayer generates spiritual power. You know, the analogy is used, if you have one lamp lit in a room, it gives you some light to see by. It's minimal, but you still have light. If you have a bunch of lamps shining, you can see much more clearly. And I believe that that's a good analogy for us. Let your light shine before men, but also as we are praying together, I believe our prayer is more powerful when we pray together rather than alone because we are praying as the body of Christ. Now, remembering, of course, that ironically enough, prayer is more often for our benefit, for gaining perspective, for aligning our will to God's. And we can do that better when we have different perspectives, when we're not just so self-absorbed. And I think that's one of the benefits of praying together. You hear other people's prayer and you get these aha moments. You're going, oh yeah, okay. God, I'm really not where I need to be. So part of prayer is aligning our will to God's will. We're not trying to convince God to do something good. That's kind of his business. He does that all the time. We're not trying to convince him. We're trying to align our will with him and see other people's perspective and organize, gather, encourage one another. Second benefit, I think, as we gather the people of God, we can learn from listening to the words that we pray, other people pray. We learn from concentrating on the words that we sing, as well as hearing the choir and how they present beautiful message in song. Hopefully we learn some by listening to the sermon, but certainly by listening to scripture read as a part of the service. Now we can ask other people to pray for us. We can exercise the greatest privilege that we have as Christians, and that is to pray for the world and for ourselves and for the church. We can listen for the voice of God in others that we meet. And we don't know what words others may speak that will touch our hearts, but I can guarantee you this, if you're not here, you won't hear them. We need each other. We need each other. But I'm sure that some of you are saying, well, there's also disadvantages to coming to church. Preacher, let me tell you a couple of them. First of all, we have to put up with people we just don't like. We have to pretend like we like it when we go to church. Or the sermon may be dull and uninspiring. Well, that's possible. It may even be that the whole service is a spiritual turnoff. Or even worse, we may be asked to be involved in activities that don't interest us or which may take up our time. We have to run from the people on the enlistment committee. We might indeed feel more comfortable curled up on a recliner with a blanket, reading the Bible, watching a service on TV, then getting dressed up, getting out in the cold, driving to church, sitting in a pew listening to the guy behind us who really can't sing a lick, or to the preacher drone on and on and on about how we should live lives more like Christ. You know, all of these reasons, though, these excuses for not coming to church can be turned around. They can be made reasons why we ought to come to church. Let me give an example about the people. We need to recognize Christ in others, even people we don't like. Now, we can take the spiritual high ground and say, well, you know, I like them. I just don't like their actions. Let's be honest. We don't like them, okay? We just don't like them. The choir agrees with it. There's some people we just don't like. Now, we love them as brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We do love them, but we just may not like them. And we need to recognize Christ in them, even though we don't particularly mesh with them, as they say. Second, we should be thankful that God doesn't care whether we sing well, just that we make... Amen. Enough said. We need to realize, thirdly, that Christ can talk to us even in the midst of the dullest sermon if we'll just open our spiritual ears to Him. Fourth, we should realize again that the church is a gift. And might I state frankly that if you do not find this particular church to be a place of comfort and healing, then you need to forgive and move on, or you just need to go find another church. And some of you are going, gosh, I can't believe you just said that. But see, here's the deal, people. If you can't forgive and forget and move on in relationships, if you come into this place and all that's happening is you're reminded of the pain of hurt and you can't work your way through that, I'll help you find a congregation where you can come in and worship and feel God's presence, and feel encouragement. Believe it or not, I've done this in the past. People say, I can't get past this. I say, you need a change of venue. You need a change of venue. Let me help you find another body of believers that you can kind of leave this behind, get a fresh perspective, because it's not healthy. It is not healthy coming in here week after week with whatever bitterness poisons your spiritual well-being, and I might add, the people around you. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to God's body. Let me help you with that. Obviously, the best solution is to forgive and move on. That's what we do. You see, what we need most, though, is God. And in church, God comes to us in a special way through the power of the prayer of the body of Christ. You see, we are weak by our nature. Human beings are very weak by our nature, and not always to our liking are other people. But we're in this together. We're in this thing together. We can separate ourselves from the church only by separating ourselves, I believe, from Christ. We can ignore our membership in the body of Christ and the responsibilities and the privileges that flow from that membership only at our spiritual peril. Think carefully. Think carefully about the gift that Christ has given you. That is the church. The visible manifestations of His grace and His presence here on earth. Take seriously your privileges, your responsibilities as the member of Christ's body and the essential bonds that we have as believers. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of you, all that you are and all that you have, and love each other. I'm not sure how we took something as precious as the gift of being able to come to church and turned it into a duty. But we need to fix that. Because coming here in this place is a divine privilege. Amen? It is a privilege. It is a chance to unite our hearts with fellow believers. To give praise to the God who gave us this gift. And I humbly suggest that all of us start viewing it in that light. Let's pray together. Gracious God, forgive us when somehow we think we can do it by ourselves. We confess we need you, but we also confess we need one another. Father, it's so easy to slip, but it's a whole lot easier to recover when we have people around us holding us up. God, we thank you for the gift of the body of Christ, the church. Father, we pray that as we work together, and as we worship together, and as we play together, that you would give us this unbelievable joy, understanding the privilege that you've, the gift that you've given us. And Father, as we do that, others will be pointed to you because they will understand the nature of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Not believers out there going solo, trying to do it by themselves, but working together, one heart, one mind, as we point others to you and give you all the praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The invitation this morning, I believe for us, is to, number one, make sure that we have a personal relationship with Christ, with the God who gave us life and gave us life eternal through His Son, Jesus. Second of all, I believe the invitation is if we are of such a mind that we do not acknowledge the gift of the body of Christ, we need to confess that to God and get back on track, understanding what a joy and a gift that He's given us of one another. And thirdly, if you're not a part of a local body of Christ and would like to join College Park, we have many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Most of all, though, as we stand and as we sing together, Mary, what are we singing? The servant song, how appropriate. It's almost like we do worship planning, isn't it? The servant song, serving together, working together. Let those words, as you sing them, let those words be your offering. Let those words be a prayer that you offer, a prayer of commitment that you offer up to God. Let's stand and sing together. encourage you following the benediction and the choral response. Greet one another. Encourage one another. Give each other a hug. Let them catch up on things that are going on this week. Offer up what maybe we can do to pray for you. Be open and honest with one another. That's the benefit. That's part of the benefit of being together. Will you do that? Okay, let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sunny weather outside. Father, we thank you most for the presence of your Holy Spirit here in this place as we worship together, as we've studied your word. And as we go from this place, help us to apply what we've learned. And as we do so, as we say, Father, truly let others see Christ in us, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.